there are really very few men in at an optimal state at this point. I mean, unless we're talking about a professional athlete, and I do have a couple that I won't name them here, but who I've worked with who, are close. But most of the men that I see on a daily basis, you know, they're executives, they're C-suite kind of guys, or they're young entrepreneurs. In general, they're not taking care of their body, and they just don't really necessarily know how to. And I think the biggest challenge for them is education.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So I just came off an intro where I said we talk about being badass women and all these things we need to do with respect to our own health, but today's episode is actually not about us at all. It's about the men in our lives. For a long time now, I've been wanting to get my friend and physician, Dr. Tracy Gappin, onto the podcast where we could talk about what it would take to actually get the men in our lives into a physician's office. Tracy is a board-certified urologist practicing in Florida, but his real passion is unpacking health performance medicine for men. This was a really exciting interview. And what we did is we broke down some of the key performance areas that men really need to look at with respect to their health, some of the red flags that we need to make sure that we are consistently watching for, and the number one thing that actually drives men finally through his door. The intention behind this episode was to really give us an understanding and in some cases, some ammunition to get the men that we love into the offices of people who can help take their health to the next level as well. It is truly my honor to introduce you to my friend and physician, Dr. Tracy Gappin. Dr. Tracy Gappin, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me.
I am really looking forward to jumping in on this, and we're going to take a bit of a different angle than we normally do. And normally we talk about health and business and body and mindset issues as they pertain to female entrepreneurs and go-getters. But today we're actually going to talk a little bit more about how we can be helping to optimize the health of the men in our lives. So Tracy, can you take us through who the heck you are, how you got here, and really, like, I know so much of your work now is focusing on precision high-performance medicine. I'd love to hear the segue that got you interested in that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Megan. So I am a clinical urologist. I've been in private practice for 15 years now and had a very busy, high-volume practice in the office and operating and taking call and at the hospital. And what I found over the years is a recurring theme, and that was all these men that were coming in to be treated, they were all dealing with the same kind of problems. And it was, you know, low testosterone with some weight gain, some poor energy and difficulty focusing, and they were, you know, not taking care of their bodies. And all they really wanted was testosterone and Viagra. And so it was very fascinating to me.
Of course,
how
it's that simple.
Right. It's all about the sex for the guys. Right. So what I found was this recurring theme that guys were so focused on the sex part of things that they were kind of overlooking the bigger picture. And that is that the underlying health problems that were causing those issues that they were having. So a parallel to that in my own life, I was, as I mentioned, very busy with my medical practice. And I have two little kids who were little babies at the time as well. And my life was stressful, and I found that I wasn't taking care of myself either. I was overweight, and I was feeling sluggish and felt like crap every day. And I went for my first physical exam ever, and it was pretty scary when I found that my cholesterol was 240 and I was 30 pounds overweight. And it was kind of a wake-up call to me that I needed to kind of turn my health around as well. And that got me completely changing my perspective to focus more on a health, on a performance paradigm, I like to call it, where the focus is not just on getting rid of disease, not just on getting rid of sickness, but in actually optimizing and getting beyond just neutral, but actually going to an optimized state. And so I started researching and learning all about this other side of medicine that, frankly, we were never taught in medical school. And that's wellness. That's you know, proper nutrition. And how do you deal with stress? And how do you deal with sleep? And how do you put it all together to create a comprehensive wellness program? And around the same time, I found genetics and epigenetic coaching. And it's all kind of turned into this amazing platform now of precision medicine that I apply not just to the clients, my men that I see every day, but myself in real life as well.
I just want to unpack. I love the story. And I feel like every time I have a physician on the podcast who's like, and then I discovered wellness. And I'm like, I wish I was there the moment that happened. Because my husband's a physician and he openly says this. He's like, we just didn't learn this in school, like don't eat salt. That was the extent of our nutritional training. And so can you just like unpack for us for a moment, like really what happened and the realizations for you when you're like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other side of things. Cause I think that's really exciting.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, the disease model is what at least the American medical system is based around. And that's how I was trained. And until, you know, the last 5-8 years or so, that's what I believed was really all there was. And that's around getting someone out of disease, out of a sickness. They have a cancer, they have a kidney stone, they have a UTI, or, you know, they have ED. Well, here's the pill, here's the surgery to fix it. And we get them back to neutral and we send them on their way and say, and as they're walking out the door and I'm handing them the chart, hey, eat more greens. You know, that was like the extent of it. And so as I went through my own health issues and as I saw the underlying health issues in my men that were not being addressed, it really opened my eyes to the fact that there's this functional, if you will, aspect to health, and that helping men deal with all those underlying challenges is really the root issue behind their sexual performance issues, behind their low testosterone, behind their difficulty losing weight and you know, their mindset and everything else. So it's transformed me as a person, as well as transformed how I am able to help my clients.
I'm really interested in metrics because I think that we have a tendency to jump on the scale and maybe look at cholesterol. And I find those are fundamental and those are important clinically. But I think we miss out on this whole opportunity to start to look at metrics of performance or health optimization. And if part of this conversation is like, how do we paint the picture of what it could be to be a middle-aged, high-performing man? What kind of metrics should we be looking at and should men be asking about having looked at for them?
I love that you bring that up. Actually, it's funny. We didn't even talk about this before the call, but I'm all about data. I'm all about biometrics. And for every intervention that I recommend, there needs to be a way to track it. And so, you know, example, when guys first come to see me, they'll be on a package of supplements and I'll ask them what every single one of them is for. And if they can't tell me what it's for and how they're tracking it, then they need to get rid of it. And so I love that you bring that up. So the answer to your question is a number of different things. So I have my clients wear some sort of a wearable technology to track a number of things. Number one is sleep. My man, one of the biggest health challenges that they deal with that I address really early on in the process is sleep. And getting poor sleep is an underlying issue with a lot of their health challenges. And if we can fix that, a lot of things will become easier to deal with from there, specifically weight issues, cortisol issues, testosterone issues, energy, all those issues are related to sleep. So I have guys where I get them either an Aura ring and that's what I used to wear, or I get them what I wear now is the Garmin Fenix 5 watch. And I wear that every day, all day, and especially most importantly at night. And I track sleep, and I track not just the quantity of sleep, but the quality of sleep. And that means looking at sleep latency. I look at sleep disruption. I look at deep wave, slow wave sleep. I look at you know, how much REM are they getting, and really dial it down at a very granular level to be sure that we're optimizing that as best we can. So sleep is one of the biggest things. Another metric that I love is HRV, which is heart rate variability. And I'm not sure if you've talked much about this in the past, but
we just did a podcast on HRV. So you just go to town on it. This audience is like, yeah, we got that.
That's great. All right. Well, so then everyone knows about HRV. Fantastic. Well, I love HRV. It is such a useful tool when you're looking at implementing various lifestyle changes and how it affects your health and your stress levels. You're basically maintaining a sympathetic tone. I'll give you an example. I track my HRV regularly, and I noticed that there were spikes twice a week, and I could not figure it out why I would have a spike. My HRV would go up a couple days a week, and I finally figured out what it was, and that was that my wife and I have date night on Thursday and Saturday nights. We have a nanny, and we go out, and I have a glass of wine, and I stopped drinking wine, and those spikes went away. And so it's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. So by making little lifestyle changes and tracking it, and this is what I mean by, you know, I love that you brought this up because it's so important that whatever we're doing, we track the intervention and the changes that it results. And so I use that with my epigenetic coaching with my guys. I really focus on lifestyle intervention and then how do we actually track results? And HRV is one of the great ways of doing that.
Do you have a favorite HRV tracker?
My Garmin Fenix 5 watch is actually great for it, actually. So I use that for everything.
Amazing. I know, like, we're just because we're like shooting around HRV, we use a tool in our office called the Leaf, and it actually sticks right to your chest. Anyways, it's been really cool. But now I'm going to have to go get myself a Garmin watch. This is becoming a very expensive habit, this podcast.
It is, right? Yeah. I have a lot of guys who will do, like, every morning they'll wake up and they put the strap on and they measure their HRV every day at that time. And, you know, as long as they're consistent in the timing of it, that's great. That's fine. I love the watch because I can track my sleep with it. I can track my HRV, my stress levels. I can track my resting heart rate. I can track all my fitness activity as well. And what's really cool is there's an app that you can connect to where you can actually make fun competitions and interact with your friends and kind of make the fitness side of things more engaging. So it makes it more entertaining and engaging, and guys love it.
This is going to be so fun when you get a friend request from me on your Garmin watch next week. Amazing. Okay, so we're looking at sleep and HRV. Any other performance metrics you look at? Like, do you measure testosterone? Do you measure precursors? Like, what is your... How do you handle hormones?
I do. So I do a lot of work with hormones. Guys come in, they've gone to the local testosterone clinic around the corner and they've been getting their T shot and they have no idea what their levels are or you know, where they're supposed to be. And so yes, I track it a lot. What's important with testosterone, a number of things is free testosterone. The total testosterone, I like to say, is your army. It's all the soldiers in your body. The free testosterone are the soldiers that actually have guns, the ones that are actually working. So a lot of guys have just total testosterone, and it's kind of worthless because there are a lot of things that can change your SHBG levels, which will ultimately affect your free testosterone levels. So any guy looking at testosterone, I definitely track their free testosterone. I also love the Dutch test. And I will have most of my guys do a Dutch test on a regular basis because the estrogen metabolites, I cannot emphasize enough how important those are. And a lot of people think those are just for women, but it's really critical with these guys, especially when I do the epigenetic coaching and we look at the cytochrome enzymes in your detox pathways related to your estrogen metabolism, that you want to really be sure you're optimizing your estrogen metabolism and not just putting a guy on DIM and sending him out the door.
Right. I know that 4-hydroxyestrone can just be so damaging for people. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You want the 2-hydroxy pathway. You want to do everything you can to optimize your 2-hydroxy pathway. And then you also want to make sure that your methylation pathways are all optimized as well. Exactly.
And when you're talking about methylation and really this idea of epigenetic counseling, can you share with everybody what that epigenetic piece is and two, what that looks like for people?
Absolutely. So I love this part of it. So all of my guys, the first step with me is they do a cheek swab. And I use a genetic kit from Apeiron, and that's spelled Apeiron. And they're an epigenetic coaching company that I'm partnered with. I'm the medical director for the Apeiron Center, which will be opening here in Sarasota, Florida shortly as well. But they have their own kit. And what I love about the kit is that there's complete anonymity. So there's, you don't have necessarily your name or any other identifying information attached to it when you send it in. And so a lot of people are concerned these days about confidentiality and privacy. And what's nice about these is that you don't even have to put your name on it. And you get sent the data back when the data is run, and it's yours, and no one else owns it, and no one else can use it for any research purposes or can sell it. So they get their data. I send it in. Takes about 10 days to 2 weeks to get it back, and I create a report. And it's a very detailed report with about, I'd say, 600 or so different SNPs that are specifically critically related to nutrition, sleep, micronutrient supplementation, hormones, detox, and athletic performance. So six major areas of health that these genetics are based around. So then I sit down with a client, and I first understand, you know, where are they now? What are their issues? What are their health challenges? And where do they want to be? You know, what are their goals? What are we trying to achieve? And then I go through their genetics with them and help them understand what their genetics show. And more importantly, how we can epigenetically modify those with lifestyle. And so what that means for the layperson, epigenetics means above the genes, or it means that it's basically the science of how lifestyle affects the expression of your genes. So, for example, you may have the APOE4 risk variant. APOE4 is a lipoprotein gene that's related to how your body handles lipids. And that APOE4 gene variant that you may have, you may be a carrier for, that may suggest that you're at increased risk for Alzheimer's disease and atherosclerotic disease and early mortality. But we know that by adjusting your diet, by limiting your saturated fats, by making sure that you're getting enough sleep, that those people with the APOE4 variant, for example, will have no health risks at all. And so it's taking the genetic data and creating a personalized plan with epigenetic coaching involved to reach the desired outcome.
I love having these conversations with patients because I think so many of them walk in with this predetermined idea. And frankly, they've been told this their whole life, you know, you have a family history for heart disease, or, you know, cancer is there, this massive degree of prevalence, or APOE and risk for Alzheimer's, or whatever it happens to be. And the really cool thing about where we're at with understanding genetics is that doesn't have to be your story. We literally know how to rewrite the end of that story. And I think that's so powerful for people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, these direct-to-consumer products that are out there, the 23andMe and the Ancestry.com, but then even all these other genetic reporting companies that will tell you your risk of disease, I feel like it's a huge disservice to the public, because they are suggesting that one gene equals one outcome, and that's just not true. And that, you know, it's a polygenic understanding of the fact that multiple genes interact, and that most importantly, you can epigenetically modify that outcome by how you live.
Yeah, no, it's really powerful. Okay, so now I own a Garmin watch and track to sleep with an Oura Ring, and I've got my other HRV things. We're going to run a variety of testing looking at current hormone states and that epigenetic profile. How many of the men who walk through your door are already in optimal health versus they've got some stuff that has to get cleaned up?
Great question. There are really very few men at an optimal state at this point. I mean, unless we're talking about a professional athlete, and I do have a couple that I won't name them here, but who I've worked with who, you know, are close. But most of the men that I see on a daily basis, you know, they're executives, they're C-suite kind of guys, or they're young entrepreneurs. In general, they're not taking care of their body, and they just don't really necessarily know how to. And I think the biggest challenge for them is education. And, you know, you go online and you'll go to one site that says keto is great. Another site says keto is terrible. Another site says you should do vegetarian. Another site says you should do paleo, or no, you should do this workout, or you should buy this sled to do exercises on this, or you could use this tool to sleep. And it's so confusing and it's overwhelming. And you don't know what's fact, what's fad. You don't know what's reality. And so what I tell my guys is that first of all, it's a systems-based approach, that we're going to look at every system in the body and that they all interact together. And, you know, we're going to deal with sleep and stress first. We're going to look at nutrition, and we're going to look at hormone optimization. And then we're going to look at, you know, fitness, and we're going to look at your detox pathways. And then the icing on the cake is mindset. And every one of those pieces fits together, and you can't look at any one piece. You know, your genetics can definitely help guide the process, the decision making, but ultimately epigenetics can help us overcome most of those genetic challenges.
So what I know, like, I feel like for the biggest challenges, all the women are listening right now and they're like, okay, great. I'm sending my man in. We're going to get all of this stuff done. And then men are sitting there and they're like there's just this massive resistance to seeing a physician. Can you just break down some of the misconceptions around what it actually means to have your health looked at in its entirety for a man, let's say between the ages of 30 and 45?
You know, it's funny you say that. Most guys age 30s and 40s, they don't go to a doctor unless they're sick.
Right.
And that's what's really wrong. That's the real problem, Megan. And I'm glad you brought that up because, and even myself, I'm a physician myself, and I never once went to see a doctor until I was 40.
Right.
And
at least you're speaking the truth, right?
Yeah, it's true. And I was guilty of it as well, where we don't go to a doctor unless we're sick. So a lot of guys think, well, I don't need a doctor because I'm not sick. And that's what's really ultimately wrong with our medical system here in the U.S., at least, that it's based on disease. And so I think things are changing. I think optimization is becoming much more relevant. And guys are realizing that, you know, what you do now is critical. You know, we now have studies that show that a young man, like how we take care of our body now, preconception, has a massive impact on how our child will grow up and develop. And we're talking about like before the child's even born, before conception, how I am treating my body affects my sperm and ultimately my children.
And in an ideal world, how would you have men interact with their physician? Is it an annual physical? Let's assume we're talking about someone who's healthy, who's not managing a chronic disease. But are they in there annually? Are they doing blood work once a year? Are they like, how do we start to shift the narrative around this and set some expectations around what's normal?
The problem is that if a man goes to most primary care doctors at age 35, mm-hmm. they'll run some basic blood work. They'll say, yeah, you're fine. I'll see you in a year. Mm-hmm. Because, again, there's not education in medical school on epigenetic coaching. There's nothing on nutrition. There's nothing on how to really optimize sleep and stress. And so my guys, I meet with them monthly. It's a quick video call. It's a check-in just to make sure they're doing okay. And then once a quarter, we really dive deep if we need to check labs, if we need to, you know, look at something in particular, if we need to redo the Dutch test or some blood work. I go through every month, I go through the data on their Garmin watch. So what's really cool is that I'm tracking their data as much as they are. And so when you say, you know, how often should a man check in with their doctor? Well, if you're talking about me, we're gonna catch up very casually, if you will, once a month, just to go over their data and metrics and see where they are and make little tweaks here and there. But then once a quarter is where we really kind of catch up and make sure that we're on the right track.
And you get to have a chance to go deeper.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't do that in a 10-minute visit. You know, in the disease model world here in the U.S. that we have, it's a 10-minute visit with your medical doctor. What's the disease? What's the illness? Here's the pill. Here's the surgery. Here's the referral to another doctor, and you're out the door.
Right. Well, you know, I find that there are subtle differences between Canada and the U.S., but definitely our healthcare system also manages disease. But, you know, I travel in the U.S. a fair bit, I walk around and I'm like, it's really hard to be healthy here. Like, there is so much temptation, and I probably know my own environment better, but there's just so much temptation around not being healthy that it really is a challenge to sort of hold the course. And I think having regular contact with people absolutely makes a difference for them. If we were really directing men around saying, and in this case, we're directing women around telling their men, but if there were some key things, like if there are five things that we could just get men to get on top of, what would be those things that you would love for them to start to take care of?
Great question. Let's see. Number one is sleep. Make sure they're optimizing sleep. And I'm guilty of this too, where it'll be 11:30 at night. And I'm like, let me just get one more thing done. Let me just read one more research article or whatever it may be. And, you know, now I've come to realize that extra hour of sleep is so critical. So number one would be sleep. Number two is mindset, getting really your mind around making proper decisions and having the focus on the bigger picture plan. So I think that's critical. I think, and around, you know, mindset, I actually it's kind of crazy that you're going to hear a medical doctor use the M word, but you know, meditation and mindfulness is actually something that I think is really important. And I think just kind of clearing your mind on a regular basis is so important. Most of the guys I deal with, they're very similar to me, where they're super busy, they're high performers, and they're go, 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 and they never stop and breathe. And their HRVs are shitty, and their stress levels are high, and they don't eat well, and you know, that they need to stop and smell the roses, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a great point.
The next one would be nutrition. And I think the big problem is men just don't know what the heck to eat. You hear so much conflicting data on what's good, what's bad. They don't know what they're supposed to eat. They don't know if meat good or eggs bad. Is dairy good or organic or GMO? Or, you know, it's just so overwhelming for guys. And so I think understanding that is really important. The number one thing that they can start with is to really eliminate sugar. And I think as much as I love sugar, it's really the underlying evil of our society. And, you know, you mentioned temptation. Sugar's everywhere. You know, especially at a restaurant, you know, when you go out to eat, the first thing they do is they put a basket of bread on the table. And I make them take it away because that's, you know, it's just the worst thing is the sugars, the refined carbs, the breads, the cakes, the cupcakes, the, you know, the candy, all that kind of stuff. Replacing it with real whole foods, whether that be fruits and vegetables or, you know, preferably organic. You know, look for whole foods that you can name every single ingredient in, or it was grown from the ground or from a tree. If you're not a vegetarian, clean meat, you know, fish is fantastic, clean, lean, organic chicken and pork. And so, you know, I think focusing on clean nutrition is a great starting point for guys, helping them understand what's good to eat and what's not.
And what about alcohol? Like, do you have guidelines that you provide around alcohol?
It's nearly impossible to tell a guy to never drink. Some guys have a problem with it where they actually need help. But a lot of guys, they'll have, you know, a drink or two a week. Some guys drink, you know, two or three beers a night, and that's a real problem. But I like to say one night a week, you have to kind of be free to be a real person and go have a drink, have a glass of wine. You know, if you're going to drink, I would definitely recommend red wine over beer. I think that it's about moderation, Megan. You know, I don't have an absolute rule for that. Obviously no alcohol would be ideal, but, in reality, most guys are going to tune you out if you tell them that.
Yeah. And I think women are the same.
I think you need to be kind of realistic with them. And, you know, when I talk about epigenetic coaching, I'm not their boss, I'm their coach. And so I need to give them tools and strategies that are reasonable. And I think to tell someone who, you know, wants to go out once a week and have a, you know, glass or two of wine, I think it's hard to tell them no.
I'm a big proponent of moderation as one builds out.
Yeah.
These changes in lifestyle. And I feel like resilience is one of the strongest indicators of health, that you can go out and have two glasses of wine and it doesn't knock you on your rear end.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. So we've got sleep, we've got mindset, we've got nutrition. I segued into alcohol. And what are your recommendations around movement?
Yeah. Fitness was the next one I was going to say. You know, this goes a little bit back to mindset, but a lot of guys, they just think there's no time. They think that they're too busy. They're overwhelmed with this and that, and they don't put a focus on it. They don't make it a priority. That's one of the big reasons I have them wear the watch is I can track their fitness and I make it fun for them. Cause you know, there are a lot of guys who love to exercise and work out and they train, you know, three or four times a week. And those guys are easy, but other guys, the classic guy where he maybe works out one day a week, it's getting them to really, from a mindset perspective, understand the significance of it, understand how powerful it is and how it's going to help with stress levels. It's going to help with testosterone. It's going to help with, you know, obviously burning fat and getting rid of the love handles, and it's going to make sex better. And so it's, you know, a lot of it's motivating them to do it. And so from that perspective, it's really get up off your ass. And I use genetics to help guide whether they're, you know, better off from more of a strength training or an aerobic perspective. Everyone needs strength training, but some guys maybe more strength than otherwise. Yeah, it's vitally important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Any other key, like, big picture areas?
You know, another part that's really worth mentioning is social interaction. Several studies have looked at social interaction and how it has actually been associated with longevity and reduced aging. you know, philanthropic work or working with the community or just basically, you know, having social interaction with people. I have a number of guys who are financial guys. They're in the financial industry. They do, you know, wealth advising and they're stock trading and they're at a desk all day, every day. And so I like to really focus on the social aspect as well. And you know, carving time out in their life to interact with people. And I think that's certainly really a healthy aspect of life that's important.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there's just so much literature pointing to the need for community as one of the strongest determinants of health. And I totally agree. I feel like every other week I'm trying to boot my husband out the door to actually go out with his friends because I feel like it's actually it's so good for him. But you're right, it's easy to get sidetracked with kids and work and all those pieces.
Yeah.
So, you know, I made reference to it that I'm kicking him out of the house to get him to go and engage in one of these things. And I think it's really easy for us to fall into a dynamic where we are, quote unquote, nagging our partners to do something about their health. And I think we can probably all agree that it's not the best approach in terms of getting them into their office. What are you finding are the things that actually finally motivated men to come and see you? Because I doubt it's their wife dragging them there. Like help them.
I have one word. Imagine what that one word is.
Mm-hmm.
Sex. Yeah. So it's funny. Sex is what finally brings the guy in the office to see me. They may be struggling with cognitive function. They can't focus at work. Their concentration is off. You know, they're struggling to perform or stay awake during the day. But it's funny, what gets them in a lot of times is the sex side of things. And so the sex drive, the libido, the want to feel attractive to their partner and to have better sex, a lot of times that's what gets them in.
Okay. So that's a better angle than nagging.
That's right.
Okay. So when men are coming in and that's an issue for them, like, what are some of the things that men are actually struggling with on that side? Because I do feel like it's a subject that we don't actually bring up all that often, even within the context of intimate partners.
So a couple of things. I guess there's the libido side and there's the performance side. So from the libido perspective, a lot of guys, when they get into their 40s and 50s, they start to have lower testosterone levels. And I actually give talks about this. I'm giving a talk at Ancestral Health next month on how there's a testosterone epidemic and how endocrine disruptors are crushing men's testosterone levels. And so it's become a real problem where I'm seeing guys in their 30s and 40s coming in with low libido related to low testosterone. The common thing that I see is women saying that their men are no longer interested in sex. You know, that when they first got married, the guy was chasing his wife around. And now after a couple of years, you know, 5-10 years later, the wife is noticing that the guy is just not interested at all. He has no sex drive, no libido. And a lot of times that's related to testosterone. And so I see that a lot. It's getting to be more and more of a problem. It's quite prevalent. There's probably about a 1% drop in testosterone levels every year.
That's a lot.
It is. It's huge. So that's a huge issue. It gets very complicated when I see guys in their 30s with very low testosterone who are looking still to have children. You know, fertility is an issue for them as well. Then you have to deal with, you know, maintaining sperm function while you optimize their testosterone levels. And that's certainly a tricky task. So that's the libido side of things. The actual performance side of things, a lot of times it can be related to lower testosterone. But more often than not, for younger guys, it actually tends to be a mindset sort of thing. And there's this self-fulfilling prophecy that I see time and time again on an almost daily basis, where a guy has trouble performing one day or one night, and it's an ego thing. You know, guys take it personally. It's a sign of masculinity to be able to perform for their partner, and when they can't, they internalize the hell out of that. And whether they tell you women or not, they're very much bothered by it. They're troubled by it, and what's going to happen tomorrow is they're less likely going to be interested in having sex because they're either subconsciously or consciously worried about, can they perform next time? And it becomes this elephant in the room where they did not perform well last night. Am I going to be able to perform tonight? And their mind gets in their own way. And it's a huge problem. And so a lot of the ED issues I have come down to coaching. and helping guys understand that and overcome that, and you know, their strategies that I can help them use to deal with that. But from the your audience's perspective, I would think that it'd be helpful to recognize that that's real, whether the man is admitting it or not, whether he's you know, showing some vulnerability on that or not. It's definitely an issue, and all guys take that super seriously to be able to you know, perform at their peak.
Well, I've also clinically always considered one's libido as just a sign of overall vitality. Like there's certain things we inherently are able to do as humans. And I've always viewed it as a red flag, and for men or women, when their libido has waned or significantly plummeted. So I like that you're talking about that. And you know, even as you're talking about performance, I was probably 1 or 2 years into practice, and I had the sudden slew of, and I don't think that they were all talking to each other, but of men coming in who were young, like sub 30 on Cialis, because they were very intimidated by the expectations of their partners. And really it came down to, in those situations, a lack of communication around those expectations. But I remember being shocked early on in my career by the number of men who felt that they absolutely required pharmaceuticals to be intimate with their partners.
Yeah, and it could almost become an addiction where guys feel that they need that to be able to perform. And again, it comes back down to the mindset side of it, where guys are so fearful of not being able to perform that they rely on that stuff just to make sure that it's not a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tracy, I want to transition the interview in 1 second, but before we do, I want to get your take on some of the red flags we also should be watching for with respect to partners. What are some of those things where, you know, I think some of these we can kind of deny for a little bit, or like we have this tendency to kind of be like, oh, it's not that bad. But what are some of the things you're like, I really wish you had come in a year ago? What should we be watching for?
Yeah, it relates to the low testosterone issue. Is that what you're talking about?
Low testosterone, or just in general, like whether it's just that extra bit of weight or a chronic digestive issue, or like,
yeah,
you know, what are some of the things? Are you seeing some themes in your practice where men are tending to not acknowledge, maybe it's depression, tending to not acknowledge things until we really are at a point where it's harder to treat?
Yeah, you know, the belly. I think the belly is a good sign of a man's health. You know, guys who come in with a beer belly, they're overweight, they have the love handles, that's really a huge warning flag, especially for a guy in his 30s or 40s, because that guy is going to have what we call metabolic syndrome. You know, he's going to have low testosterone, he's going to be overweight, he's going to have increased, you know, visceral adipose tissue, he's going to have chronic inflammation, and this whole big bundle of badness, if you will. And you can see it from the outside. You can see it from their body habitus. And so I know what that guy's testosterone level is going to be. I know what his lipid profile is going to look like. I you know, if you were to put a continuous glucose monitor on him for 24 hours, I bet I can tell you what it's going to show. And his hemoglobin A1C is probably 7. And you know, that guy's in trouble, and that guy's killing himself. And what's amazing about it is that it's all preventable. It's all completely preventable. And you know, I give talks on epigenetics, and one of the slides I'm thinking of right now is the top 10 causes of death, at least in the U.S. It accounts for 75% of the deaths, and they're all preventable with lifestyle, every single one of them. And so I think that the warning flag for you out there is if your partner has a love, you know, the love handles, the belly's getting bigger, their pants aren't fitting, and they're getting new clothes because their clothes don't fit. Their sex drive is waning, their energy is not there, their mood is off. You know, those are huge red flags. And the guys come in for sex, but it's not about sex. It's about everything. It's about their entire health.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Funny, but not funny. I had a guy come in one time. He must have weighed about 250, 260, 270 pounds or so. And he was about 5'7" and morbidly obese. And he comes in for ED, and he's 42 years old. And it blows me away that again, the sex is what brought him in, but that guy's going to die young if he doesn't turn it around. And so the chronic inflammation related to, you know, insulin resistance and obesity and, you know, poor lifestyle habits are really a red flag.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating as a clinician to see it happening everywhere and know that it doesn't actually have to follow that pathway.
Yeah, you're right.
We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. On a lighter note, I'm gonna take us to the second component of our interview. I call these our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our businesses, I believe we have them in how we live our lives and treat our own health. So, Dr. Gapin, I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
Hang tight. First question. You ready?
I'm a little scared.
You should be frightened. Hang on. Who is inspiring you right now?
Who's inspiring me right now? Oh, wow. I would say Dan Stickler. Dan Stickler, he's the head of Apeiron Genomics. And that dude is smart. That dude spits out research articles on a daily basis that are amazing. And he remembers every one of them. And so from a science kind of geeky perspective, he motivates me to learn more every day.
I like that. I'm going to have to look him up. Yeah. What is your audacious goal for the next year?
Well, I have a certain number of clients that I'm hoping to achieve that I'll actually keep that to myself because I think that's a little bit private, I would say.
Yeah.
I have personal goals and professional goals. From a personal standpoint, I have specific goals related to my relationship with my wife and carving time out for my kids and my wife and making sure that I maintain the relationship. I have goals related to my weight, but weight's really not nearly as important as body mass. And so I look at body mass index and lean body mass and stuff like that. So I have goals related to that, which I'll keep private. I have goals.
We don't need specifics. It's fine.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm hoping to get under 300 pounds this year. Yeah.
There you go. I know that's not true.
I have goals from a networking perspective in terms of creating relationships with people that I've not met before. For me, kind of getting out of my shell and being more extroverted is something that's important to me and I'm working on. And so, I have goals on the number of connections I like to make this year, number of clients I like to make. I have an income or revenue goal as well, which I'll keep to myself. But I think everyone should have, KPIs related to every aspect of their life. Otherwise, what are we doing? What's it all for?
I agree. And if you can't be specific about what it is that you are looking for, not necessarily in a podcast, but to yourself, then it's really hard to create a plan to get there. Your plan stays general. It's a big thing I talk about with my patients and my coaching clients. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Now it's sleep.
Nice.
Now it's sleep. Before it was not. Before I would stay up till 1 a.m. Working. My wife would go to bed and I would keep working and working. And then I would wake up at 6:30 and killing myself. I was tired. I was stressed and I wasn't taking good care of myself. And so one of the key things I focus on is that I get at least 7 hours of sleep every single night and I track it.
Good for you. I love it. Yeah. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
This one's easy. I did my own vasectomy.
You had told me that story, and I was hoping you'd share it, but I was like, I wasn't going to ask. Okay, can you just elaborate for just one second?
Yeah, so my wife and I have two children, and after the second one, it was very clear to both of us that it was time for birth control, and we felt that vasectomy was the best choice for us. And, I do them all day, every day in my urology practice. And I honestly, I feel that I'm the best one at it. I feel I'm in a group of five guys. And I honestly feel that no one does them better than I can. And I can do them in about 10, 15 minutes. And guys tell me they're painless and they're easy. And so that's kind of one of my super skills. So when it came time for me to have it done, I knew that there was no one going to do my vasectomy but me. And so it was a Friday afternoon. It was about 6 o'clock at the end of my work day. And I just sat on the exam table, and my nurse had set up a table. I told her that I would yell at her if I needed any help. And I did it all right there on the exam table by myself. And it wasn't too bad.
That is the most epic story.
Yeah. While I was doing it, actually, my wife was texting me, wondering where I was because I wasn't home. Normally she hears me by then. So she was texting me wondering what's going on. And I told her after, like on the way home, that I did. And she's like, "You did what?" You know, yeah. So good story.
Well, it's going to be hard to top it, but what do you do for fun or play?
Golf. My 5-year-old is obsessed with golf right now. And so I'm loving golf again. I had to take a hiatus while my kids were little. But so golf and tennis are my biggest hobbies. I love boating as well. Boating, skiing. We like to go skiing at least once, if not twice a year. Yeah, staying active.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
That's a great question. I think you're born with it. I think that there are some people who just don't have a spirit. Like my wife, she has no interest in being an entrepreneur. Zero. She's like, yeah, whatever. So I think that there's people who are made for it and other people who are meant to be an employee. And that's neither good nor bad. That's who you are. I think that's okay. There are leaders and there are followers in this world. And I think to be an entrepreneur, you have to be a leader. You have to be a disruptor. You have to think outside the box. And you have to have unshakable confidence in your mission.
Well, I love that you have that confidence in your mission, and I love what you are doing to help support men in living their most optimized life. Dr. Tracy Gappin, if we are going to send people in your direction to learn more about what you are up to, where should we tell them to go?
Sure, you can go to smartmenshealth.com.
Well, that was super easy. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much, Megan. I appreciate it.
If you have got a man in your life who you would really like to help, send them the link to this episode. Leave us a review on iTunes, and you can grab all of the show notes and reference to Tracy and his practice over on my website, meganwalker.com/podcast/episode129.